Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. Here's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about Real Housewives of New York City.
Okay.
I want to talk about Southern Charm,
mm-hmm.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Love it.
And Below Deck Med.
Oh, the best.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to do Rose and Thorn as always. And we have interviews with Barbara Kavavit from The Real Housewives of New York City and Lowe's Ortiz and Janet Montaigne from Texicana's.
But before we get started, we wanted to remind you there will be a Gay Pride Marathon on Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m.
You'll be able to watch episodes of Real Housewives of Atlanta, the Hairstylist Tell All special, watch What Happens Live Uncensored, all of the Vanderpump Rules Pride Parade celebrations, and Captain Sandy's Yachtrageous Moments on Below Deck Med.
So cancel those plans and change the channel to Bravo. You'll be glad you did.
Speaking of Pride, as you guys may have heard, World Pride is happening in New York City this weekend, and Bravo's going to have a huge presence there. There's going to be a float. Andy will be there, a bunch of housewives, some drag queen housewives. And I would be there, and I'm so sad to be missing it, but I already had plans to take a vacation that weekend.
Where are you going?
I'm going up to Ithaca, which, like, I've been a million times, but I have a friend visiting from LA, so we're taking a little weekend getaway.
Okay, it's more important than celebrating all human rights.
Ithaca's a very gay city, so I will be celebrating just fine in a wonderfully gay place.
Great. We wanted to say that our thoughts are with Lisa Vanderpump. Her mother, Jean Vanderpump, passed away at the age of 84. Lisa, you're in our thoughts, and your Bravo family is always thinking of you. Real Housewives of New York City.
Well, we are coming off the Bethany panic attack.
Right.
Right from the beginning of the episode. What did you think about the way Lou reacted?
It's hard for me to know if it's sincere, because at that point, what are you going to do? Your back's up against a wall. You kind of have to apologize.
I'm sorry if I've been wrapped up in myself. Selfishly, I've been, you know, dealing with what I've had to deal with, which is a lot.
I felt it was sincere. I thought there was a little bit of a moment where she kind of realized, like, wow, okay.
But then if you watch the after show, she doesn't seem all that apologetic. She seems like, that was really more about Bethany than it was about me.
Well, yeah, I mean, perhaps she's not so wrong in that Lou triggered something in Bethany that maybe started off as an issue she had with Luann, but it really spoke to kind of a bigger issue that of what, like, Bethany was going through in terms of grieving. But
do you think this Giovanni release party has made you a little bit biased?
I would say no, only because one of the things that I feel like is really funny about that party is they obviously played the video twice. And I looked over at Luann to see, you know, as she was watching it, and the look in her eye that she had when she saw her poster was sort of the same look I saw at the party. So I was right. A little bit like, you know what? You can be narcissistic and not a bad person.
Uh-huh.
And so I feel like maybe we're just seeing this very narcissistic side of Luann, but that doesn't mean she's, you know, not a good friend. And I think for her to come back to the table and sit down and sort of clear the air with Bethany once she had calmed down, I think she did need to remove herself from the situation. But if she had totally left like she was planning to, I think that would have said a lot more about her.
Yeah. Well, I want to fast forward a little bit into the episode because I feel like OG Daily Dish fans will be excited. Rachel Roberts was at Dorinda's aerobics class, and
yes,
you can see her throughout the whole thing.
I know. I was so excited to, like, spot her, and she's pretty much, if you guys didn't notice already, she's pretty much right behind Bethany.
Yeah,
I think,
whenever
in all
you
the
see
shots.
Bethany, you'll see her. And you'll notice her because who else wears a bright red lip to work out?
Right. Just Rachel. And it's funny, I messaged her on GChat last week saying, oh, your episode of Roni is coming up, so get ready. And she said, you know, I definitely thought going into that event that it was more of like a show up in 80s clothes and it's a party. She didn't really know she was going to have to go through an entire aerobics class. So she got there and she was like, oh, I'm actually working out today. Okay, I guess it's fine. So she was in for quite a treat.
I had such a hard time with this episode because of Tinsley and the dog.
I know.
And, like, Ramona was basically making fun of her, but I so related to Tinsley in this episode.
Absolutely.
I mean, first of all, when my cat Tigger died, I was distraught. Aaron says watching me have to go through that was like one of the hardest things in his life. Oh, he was like, Iraq was number two. Like, so I'm just saying, like, the emotions, like, I was overcome. And I literally put Tigger on my baby name list if I should ever get pregnant. Just like, Tinsley's like, I think I'll name a child Bambi.
Oh, my God.
I was like, yes. And then she said maybe getting a tattoo. I thought about doing the same thing.
Really?
Yes.
So, like, you guys were definitely experiencing all of the stages of grief together.
Yeah, and like, maybe it's because we both don't have children and, like, that... those were our babies.
Yeah, well, that's what she said. I mean, she rescued Bambi, and it was like she said, it's part of the family. And I feel like so many pet owners can really relate to that, because your dog and your animals just do become part of your family. They're there when you go home every night. You know, I totally can understand why she would be so upset. And I'm just a little bit surprised that Ramona wasn't a little more empathetic, being a dog owner herself. I mean, even Sonia clarifies, like, this is coming from the person who had a dog funeral. Like, I've never seen someone be that upset about an animal. But I felt terrible.
Yeah.
I
and
really did.
Also, when Ramona's like, I hope I'm not like this when Coco dies. Ramona, you will be.
100%. I also thought it was, I did laugh at one moment when Ramona said something about her. And Tinsley's like, Bambi was a boy.
You loved him. Or her. Was it her or
a
him?
It was a him.
It was Bambi. A him. I know you loved him.
A boy in the movie, Bambi. Okay.
Like, she clarifies that, like, Bambi wasn't a girl. Because, I mean, you hear the name Bambi, and, like, I think Sonia says it, too. I knew a stripper in Miami by that name. And you don't really think boy. But I guess Bambi the deer from Disney was a boy, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what Tinsley said.
Oh, well, yeah.
Who knew? What was Thumper?
Thumper was a boy? I think Thumper was a boy.
Producer Sarah's looking at us like we're crazy. Have you not seen Bambi?
I have.
Okay.
Really sad.
The sex of certain
gender is a construct, okay? The other thing I wanted to talk about tying into the aerobics class, though, was how Luann bought Bethany and Barbara a gift after the way she treated them in Miami and even prior. And Dorinda was kind of upset about it because she felt like Lou put her through the ringer for 8 months after the Giovanni incident. And I think the conversation that the women were having was like, were like, is this apples to apples? Is this equal? Or are they sort of separate issues? So did you think it was kind of strange that Luann would go and kind of buy a gift to make peace with them, but didn't do the same for Dorinda?
It just reminds me, I think it was last season or two seasons ago. It was the Jewels season, maybe, that Ramona, at her birthday, Luann brought Ramona a gift and she brought Bethany a gift. And the gift she gave Ramona was just her HSN collection necklace that she had actually already given Ramona, but it had it fixed because it broke. And the gift she gave Bethany was like this really nice wallet or purse or something.
Right.
So I think that Luann knows there's a hierarchy and she's sort of kissing the ring.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense. And I feel like Dorinda, somebody points it out in the episode that it's different with Bethany. For whatever reason, Luann always wants to make good with Bethany right away, as opposed to some of her other friends where she lets it sort of drag out a little bit longer.
I mean, maybe because they've seen what happens when you go against Bethany.
I would never, ever want Bethany Frankel on my bad side.
No.
Not for one moment.
Yeah. Nope.
Have I ever?
Because she has the money to remove you.
Right. Like 100%. Like, I will not show up to work one day and it'll be because she assassinated me. Wait, did I ever tell you my dead dog story? I was going to tie it into the...
Am I going to laugh or cry?
I think you're going to laugh, but maybe not. Oh, let's do it anyway.
Okay.
Let's do it, and we'll just decide
we'll
to keep it
or cut it.
We'll
see where this goes.
Well, related to Tinsley's grief and that experience of, you know, finding her dog dead the way she did, I have a similar experience that I went through when I lived in Los Angeles. So I was in between apartments, and I was basically house and dog sitting for my friend Caitlin, and she had a tiny teacup Yorkie named Annie. And we sort of had this ongoing joke that Annie was like a Tara Reid, Lindsay Lohan, just like hot mess little character, like whatever. It was LA, it was a tiny dog. And Annie was always pretty crazy. She had a lot of health problems. She was a little bit older than we ever really knew because she was adopted, so they never really knew her age. And I was watching her for a couple days, and she started acting kind of weird and wasn't really eating and kind of was acting a little off. So I kind of clocked it and then went to work, came back the next day, and she was still kind of off. And I called Caitlin, who was in New York, so she wasn't even available. And she, you know, I said to her, I think something's up with Annie. She's just acting kind of weird. Like, you know what dogs' behavior is, and you know their patterns, and they're kind of, you know, you can tell when something's up. And she was like, okay, well, you know what? Tomorrow, if she's still acting weird and, like, not eating, bring her to the vet because maybe something is going on. So I said, okay, and, you know, went to go into bed, and I was kind of calling Annie, like, come into the room because she always slept in the same places. You know, dogs have their own places. And she wouldn't come into the room, so I was like, all right, I'm going to let her go. I'm going to let her sleep where she wants. And she went all the way into the back of the apartment where, like, the laundry room is, like, where she never, ever would go, and, like, curled up on a pile of linens. So I went to bed, and the next morning I got up, and I, like, called her name, Annie, nothing. So I walked through the whole apartment all the way to the back of the laundry room, and I found her completely dead, stiff. And so I'm screaming at her, and I go over and do exactly what Tinsley did, and it's like you poke them, like, being like, wait, no, this can't be true, and it was it. So I called Caitlin, and I'm like, Caitlin, I was like, oh, my God. I was like, it's Annie. She died. And she was like, are you sure? And I was like, I am sure. Like, I have never been more sure that this is actually the case or whatever. So I did not do what Tinsley did, which was call 911, because I didn't think that that's what you called 911 for, you know? So I ended up having to pack the dog up into, like, this, like, doggy pad box or whatever with, like, a towel and bring her to the, I think it was the ASPCA, which was actually right across from Sir in West Hollywood.
Wow.
Right? It all ties in. And so then, you know, I brought her in, and my friend Caitlin had to call ahead, being like, my friend is going to bring in my dog who died. Just don't be alarmed or ask him any weird questions or whatever because, you know, it's totally fine. And this whole time, I was almost, like, not as emotional as I thought I would be until I left the dog there and then got into the car to drive away. And then all of a sudden, it sort of hits you, like, oh, my God, like, I'm not going to get to play with that dog anymore. Like, oh, my God, Annie just died, and I had to go through that. Because it was, I don't want to say it was almost comical, but because of the way we always talked about the dog being, like, such a hot mess, like, we were like, of course this is the way she goes out, you know? Like, it was just so weird and bizarre and just one of the strangest things I've ever been through.
What part is crazy to you?
I don't know. All of it. It's just like, it's not my dog. Like, I'm dog sitting. And, like, 3 weeks after that, my current boss at the time asked me to dog sit for them. And I was like, no. I was like, no way will I be doing that.
Not to dwell on the Tinsley stuff, but the part that actually did make me want to laugh is she's, like, bawling. And she's like, and I always give him three kisses.
Towards the end of the night, I give him three kisses, and I rubbed him a little bit, but I didn't want to wake him.
No. One, two, three. I could just totally see that. I will say, too, that tying it back to the party, I noticed Tinsley has a picture of Bambi on the background of her phone still.
Oh!
And I tried not to bring it up because I knew it would probably trigger her and she would get upset, so I just didn't say anything, but Bambi was there. She's always with her. We also talked with Barbara Cavavit from Real Housewives of New York City, and we asked her about that clothes shopping trip with Ramona and her reaction to the outfit she picked out. Also talked about what it was like being the newcomer, especially on the Miami trip, and more about her new book, Heels of Steel, which is currently on display in our studio. So let's take a listen to that interview. We are here with Barbara Kay from Real Housewives of New York City. Hey, Barbara.
Hey, a.k.a. Barbara Cavavit. I have Barbara to say Cavavit. My last name.
I know, that's true. You it's know, just like, it rolls off the tongue, Barbara Kay.
Yeah, I know. But Andy, you know, after he botched it up on Watch What Happens Live, I have to keep saying it right. So everybody gets it.
You're like, I do have a full last
I
name.
I do. And you'll hear it.
Well, so here on The Daily Dish, at the beginning of the season, we were obsessed with the fact that you were handing out toolkits as, like, a housewarming gift. Do you still keep a toolkit? toolkit in your car for that?
I have one in my car right now. And as a matter of fact, I'm always checking because, you know, I give them away frequently. And I'm like, oh, did I give it away? Let me make sure that I have one still. And I think it's just a great thing to have. You never know when you break down and you're going to need a wrench with those lug nuts. I mean, you got to be prepared. Right.
People don't think of that stuff. Yes. So it's really thoughtful that you are one step ahead of everybody.
You know what? I want everyone to have simple solutions in life. And I'm here to give it to you.
I like that. Okay. That's your new tagline. I like it. So rewatching the show back, what was your reaction to the way sort of Ramona talked about the way you dress and all of those sort of things?
You know, it's so funny because I've been tagged like 100 times this morning on an outfit that she's wearing that actually, if you took her face off, it looks like me. Ooh. It's blue jeans and her Hermes belt and a crop top. And everyone's commenting, wow, this looks like Barbara. I guess, you know, you really do like the way she dresses. I mean, you know, I always think that people's insecurities come out when they start bashing other people. And I've learned to just, you know, roll with it.
Yeah.
So
what I thought was really funny is when you guys went shopping together, the outfit that she picked for you was like basically a Ramona outfit.
It was such a Ramona outfit, but I have to tell you, it's a good outfit.
It is a great outfit. Yeah, Ramona usually looks really good, I mean, I think. But you were talking about, you know, I want like an AC/DC t-shirt or something, you know, and I felt like she didn't quite listen to what you had said.
No, but I think what she was trying to do was show me that I can have that rocker chick vibe, but also look elegant too,
right,
and still look, you know, like a rocker chick. And I felt like it. I mean, she was right.
Yeah.
I'll give her one.
We'll give her
only one. Only one, though.
So we play a game here, Rose and Thorn, at the end of every episode on the podcast. And it's basically one good thing and one sort of bad thing. So what would your Rose and Thorn be of this season?
My Rose would be making out with Bethany.
Understandable.
I mean, it was a good kiss. And my Thorn would also be in Miami. I mean, it would be in Miami at that house.
Yeah.
Gorgeous house that really, there was nothing really, you know, it was gorgeous on the outside, but on the inside it was cold and had no soul. And that's how the trip felt for me.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense because I think we saw that you kind of retreated a little bit because I think, obviously, we saw on the first night, things got a little out of control.
Yeah. I mean, I think right off the bat, you know, when you are going to a vacation and you're together, and I was an outsider, so I'm someone that has never gone on a trip before, and you have women that are OGs that have been on trips for 10 straight years. And I would have expected, because I would have done the same thing, a little bit more of, come on, I got you. You know, this is what it looks like. This is how you have to, you know, what it's going to feel like. And I had none of that. I was like thrown into the lion's den. And, you know, I'm okay. I'm self-sufficient. I could handle it. But I think the way I handled it was because everybody was being kind of so mean right off the bat that I retreated.
So mean and so messy.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very messy.
I want to talk a little bit about your career. So you've been working in construction, obviously. And it's mainly, you know, a male-dominated space. So do you think that has made you stronger? And kind of what lessons have you learned from that?
I mean, I think being in the construction industry has definitely 100% made me stronger and made me have such a thick skin. And that's why I can protect myself really well from these women. I think that being a woman in business in general is difficult. But when you put it in a male-dominated industry in New York City, and when I started, I didn't have any resources. I didn't have any family in the business. And it was just, you know, being passionate about building, like where we're sitting today, you wouldn't be able to sit here if a company like mine didn't come in and put, you know, the power and put the ceilings and put your furniture in. I mean, this is what I do. I create industry. I create enterprise. And it's great to be able to, and it's really rewarding to be able to come in and do this for companies and people, and to also inspire other women and be a pioneer for women to think, you know what, I can do this too. I mean, this is an industry that I can get into and maybe be successful in, because there's another woman that has done it too.
Yeah. Have you seen over the years in your industry the glass ceiling sort of change or shatter because of what you've done?
I mean, I think it's shattered a little bit because of what I've done. I think we need to have more women in this industry, and there has to be less barriers to entry. In other words, you know, the old boys club and the old boys regime has to kind of take a little step back, and they have to embrace and not judge people and things that look different and, you know, don't act like they've always looked. So I'm always embracing whether, you know, it could be anyone, women and, you know, African-Americans and, you know, I have women that are supers. I have a lot of different people working in my organization. And I think, you know, the more that you embrace diversity, you know, it's the better off you'll be. And that's what we need in this industry.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about Heels of Steel, because I feel like that's all about what you're talking about.
I wish, you know, your listeners could see the book that I'm holding.
She's up. She's holding it up right now.
But I am holding it up, and somebody's going to take a picture.
We'll get a picture.
And, you know, this book is, I can't even tell you, my heart is so heavy because of this book, because I started writing it in my head probably 15 years ago, but I put pen to paper 4 years ago in the summer, and things weren't great in my life for a few years. And, you know, this book is really about this scrappy girl, Bridget Steele, who's from the Bronx, and against all odds starts a construction company. And everybody thinks she's going to fail. Everybody's like, forget it. You'll never get anywhere in the New York City world of unions and construction. And she just doesn't take no for an answer. And it's really about a story about her determination and her tenacity to do what she loves. And, you know, she falls in love in the book, and she gets married, and she has a child. So it's all about, you know, it's based on my story.
I was going to say, it sounds a little autobiographical.
Yeah, and I'm really excited for women to read it, because it's a really inspirational story about believing in your dreams and not taking no for an answer.
Why don't you tell everyone where they can get the book?
Yes, I would love to. Well, you can get it a number of places. It's available now on Amazon, at Target, at Walmart, Barnes & Noble.
So I want to get into the reunion, your first reunion. You still got the rocking the nails,
yeah,
the gold
yeah.
nails.
They're growing out, but they're still here.
What was that experience like for you?
It was not a pleasant experience. I felt that, you know, I mean, you'll see it play out on TV, but I thought that I was attacked in a very quick way. Like, I wasn't given a chance to really say everything I wanted to say, and it was more like attack, and now I have to defend. So it wasn't an experience that I would like to necessarily do over again in that way.
That's fair. Is there anything that you would want to clear up now, just because you feel like maybe you didn't get to at the reunion?
Yeah, I mean, Dorinda and I ended up having a little thing because she said something. She was referring to, she didn't know why I was doing the things I did with Luann, because we were good friends to begin with. And I questioned her on that, you know, the definition of a good friend. And after I questioned her on that, she kind of gave me the cold shoulder, and she wasn't very happy.
Okay.
So that's something I'd like to clear up with her.
That's fair.
So, yeah.
You had mentioned a contest earlier. You also ran a contest to give away your reunion dress. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. You know, I really believe that nobody should have too much in their closet. And I always believe in pay it forward, give it back to whether it's society, to people that help you in your lives. And, you know, you can't do things alone. There's always mentors and people by your side that have to, you know, be there with you. You can't do it alone. So with the contest and having that beautiful dress, I really felt that there was a woman out there that could use it and put it to use more than it could in hanging in my closet. So I did a contest where there were stories that people submitted their stories and, you know, why they needed this gorgeous reunion dress. And there were quite a lot of entries, and it was really exciting to read all of them. And it was so hard to choose, but at the end of the day, I did choose a woman that works full time and also goes to school at night, and she didn't have the money to pay for a dress for a corporate ball that she really wanted to go to. And that really hit home to me, because here's a woman that works her butt off, and she really wants to, you know, keep doing more for herself, but she can't afford a dress. So she got the dress. And then there were two other women. There was a sister of the traveling dress, which I thought was a great idea, where a woman wrote in and said, I'm not only going to take the dress, but after I'm done using it, I'm going to give it to four of my girlfriends.
Wow.
And I thought that was really something. So I took a dress that I never wore out of my closet that still had the tags on it. That was a pretty black dress, a cocktail dress. And I sent that to her with my Heels of Steel book. And then there was a woman who had just graduated from college at the age of 56. And wow. I thought that was really amazing, too. So I sent her a Diva toolkit and my Heels of Steel book.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So you're really into that, paying it forward.
I really am. That. Yeah.
Well, to pay it forward even more, when people are trying to tackle their own like DIY projects at home, what advice would you give people who are trying to do that?
Well, I would definitely say have a toolkit. I think all women should be self-sufficient in their own home. And, you know, 21% of all homes last year were bought by single women. And I think to never be a damsel in distress and to be independent, you should know what the essential tools are. And that should be a hammer, a screwdriver, a wrench, a tape measure, hex keys, and a flashlight. Those are the things that you should always have. And you should know how to shut the water off in case you have a leak, because water can, you know, do mass destruction in your home. You should know, you know, those simple things. You should know how to hang a picture, fix a leaky faucet. You should know how to call a contractor, the questions to ask, how to get the right information and the right insurances. So, you know, and I've written two books before on the subject, so you can go buy those books at Amazon too.
Well, you also have a YouTube channel. Are there any plans of doing more sort of DIY projects and presenting yourself like that there?
Yeah, so every week I started doing this series on YouTube. I'm going to post once a week. New inspirational tips on how to start a business, what to look for when hiring a contractor, just how to do an addition on your home, just what to look for when you're hiring a contractor. So many different things on, you know, how to be the best version of yourself.
I love that.
Yeah.
So let's imagine in the future your book is adapted for a screenplay. Who would you want to play you in the movie?
Well, guess what? It's looking that way
right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Not only a screenplay, but a TV series.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, and I've thought about this, so I have the answer. Okay. So J-Lo is definitely number one.
For everyone, always.
I mean, come on. I mean, how could it not be? So yep. J-Lo is up there. Ever since I saw A Star is Born, I would have to say Lady Gaga.
Okay.
You know, she's got that kind of Burrow thing going on, yeah, which I actually like. I thought of Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
I dig her. I've thought of course, Sandra Bullock. I like her feistiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are some. Angelina Jolie was on my list at one time, but she might have dropped off.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Any particular reason?
I don't know. I think she has to work out some issues right now.
There might be scheduling conflicts or something. I don't know. Well, thank you so much, Barbara. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been so much fun. Thank you so much for having me.
We're
I've had a blast.
Very much looking forward to the reunion.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's talk about Southern Charm. Why are they so mean to Craig?
Well, okay. Yes, right? Like, Whitney and Shep are such dicks to Craig this episode.
What is it about?
You guys pissed me off pretty bad.
Yeah, it was so easy last night.
That's right.
Act like that? Oh, mate, it's not acceptable. I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
But I have to say, Shep was in the office the other, like, last week, mm-hmm, and that interview will be coming out in a couple of weeks. And he doesn't see it that way. He thinks that even after watching the app, was like, Craig's such a pussy.
Well, I think it was last week's episode, too, where he sort of had that a bit of a, you know, toxic masculinity perspective where he was talking about, that's what guys do. We just, like, make fun of each other and whatever. But we see that even on the trip and then in this episode, like, Craig isn't receiving it as just, like, a joke. Like, he's kind of taking it really personally, and the guys are not recognizing how it's affecting him.
Ooh, I want to find out what Craig's sign is, because I feel like he's either a Cancer or a Pisces.
Oh, I feel like you're totally right. Can we Google his birthday?
Yeah. He's probably a sensitive. He's such a sensitive little soul.
I would not be surprised if he was a Cancer.
February 9th. I think that is Pisces.
Oh, actually, you know what? That might be Aquarius still.
What sign is February 9th?
I think that's still on the Aquarius side. So he's a water sign, which means tears, which means
sensitive.
Yeah,
it's Aquarius. You're right.
Which I think they can also be sensitive, right?
I don't know.
Next time's Craig. Next time he's here, we'll talk to him about astrology.
Yes, we're taking a deep turn.
Well, the other thing that was annoying to me about Whitney's behavior and Chef's behavior, Whitney in particular, though, is when they got to that, like, fancy dinner and, you know, Whitney was like, don't worry, guys, I'm going to pay for this. And then they're ordering one bottle of wine that's really expensive. And then Austin and Craig are ordering a different one. We see Whitney order a steak, and I thought he was being so particular when they were camping about, like, vegan and non-GMO, and, like, he was being so annoying about his diet on the trip, and then all of a sudden he's at a fancy restaurant, and he's like, well, let me get the steak.
It doesn't make sense.
Right?
It's funny because, so I don't eat meat, and I don't really, like, people will find out when we're at a restaurant or whatever, and I never say anything. Like, I would never say, oh, you're ordering a burger, but they always volunteer. I rarely eat meat,
right?
Or I only eat meat, like, 5 times a week.
Yes.
It's just, like, that's not the same as not eating meat.
I know. It's true. And you are very good, I have to say, about not being, like, a preachy person about it. And, like, I am definitely the worst about it because I am, like, every other day I'm like, I'm pescatarian, I'm vegetarian. And then I, like, go on vacation and I eat, like, a BLT and I'm like, it's just a little bacon. So, like, I am the worst, absolutely. And right. I do get preachy sometimes about the meat industry or whatever. But I am, like, very hypocritical when it comes to that but I just feel really bad for Craig because he is sensitive. And I feel like the guys on Southern Charm, and this was my, I think, Rose a couple weeks ago, could really take some lessons from the guys from Southern Charm New Orleans because they're very supportive of each other and very encouraging and, like, have each other's back in
That's
a very different
true.
Way.
True. Very true.
Yeah.
Those guys are very supportive.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you think about, there was a moment that Catherine had in her interview where I think we saw real growth in her, and I think we have a lot in the last couple of seasons, you know, compared to early season crazy Catherine, where she was talking about how she was with someone who made her act, and then she stopped herself and was like, no, I acted that way because I made those choices to act that way.
Yes.
And it was a huge moment for me being like, oh my God, like, we saw her have that realization in that moment. And I was like, yes, Catherine.
Yes, I agree. I loved that.
I'm used to just people talking shit about me or thinking I'm wrong, thinking all of this bullshit because I was with someone who made me act, not made me, I did act crazy or whatever.
Well, and then she and Danny kind of ended up having the conversation that was long overdue because we've seen a lot of tension from them in the last couple of episodes. And I was really glad to see that, you know, they were able to sit down, talk it over, and really communicate because at the party, at the pillow party, they weren't communicating well at all. And Catherine was really shut off. But obviously she took some time to really think about what she said and what she did and how she treated her.
Right. No, I do think that, like, I want Danny and Catherine to stay friends. Catherine needs someone like Danny.
Absolutely. We all need someone like Danny.
I also was pleasantly surprised that Patricia had the all-girls dinner.
Yeah, one thing that I thought was pretty funny about the way she set it up in her interview was, well, you know, it's the Me Too movement. So I figured instead of having a guy's dinner, why not have a girl's dinner? And I was like, I don't think that's what the Me Too movement is about.
But right.
Like,
right.
I understand, like, maybe where she was, like, going with that, but she wasn't quite grasping
it. It wasn't like the ladies were saying, I'm hungry, me too.
Right.
So I decided it's a Me Too movement. I should get with the program. I'm going to have a girls' dinner.
I did enjoy that dinner, though. It's always fun to see all of them together and just like having the conversations that they did and seeing Patricia's like teaching them how to eat the artichoke and like how to do it and just like the different ways the girls all kind of like react to such a fancy dinner at Patricia's place.
Yeah.
It's cute.
Okay. But also, what did you think about Madison and Danny in that whole exchange at Patricia's? Because Madison is basically like shading Danny, like, you're the one who told everyone that my friend DM'd your boyfriend. And I was mad that Danny didn't stand her ground and be like, you did it.
I was mad too. I actually did. I felt really bad because I think Danny kind of felt like attacked and didn't want to cause another confrontation in that moment. It kind of sounded like Madison was deflecting onto Danny. Like, she wasn't taking responsibility for what she did, which was shady, and kind of being like, well, you went and talked about it. Well, that's not the point.
Well, because I'm like, bitch, because you messaged my boyfriend.
Right,
what's
exactly.
wrong with you?
Exactly. And I think, you know, Danny wanted to just sort of like not take it any further, didn't want to cause any problems at Patricia's house, and just kind of apologize, which, you know, of course, take ownership of what you might have done that could have been wrong. But, like, at the end of the day, Madison, you kind of fucked up.
No, Danny should not have apologized. She shouldn't have put blame on Craig either. She should have just been like, and what?
Right. Right.
But this is maybe why we don't see more of Danny. She's not confrontational enough
That's
for this
true.
Group.
That's true. I don't know. Maybe there's more to come. I don't know. I wanted to ask you, too, how at the end of the episode, they're talking to Austin about potentially hanging out with Madison. But he clarifies, we're not together, but we're still hanging out. And everyone's like, well, that's not, you can't do that if you're dating or not dating. It's Craig who's sort of saying, like, you're one or the other. So where do you stand on, like, a breakup? What happens after that? Is it a clean cut, no more contact, or is
it
okay?
I think the subtext of that conversation was that they're still having sex, though.
Right, right.
Right? Isn't that what you took from it?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, so in that case, I too, as a friend, would be annoyed. Like, do what you want, but I think you can't do that if it's a casual breakup.
Yeah.
Like, then no, you're not broken up. You're still together.
Yeah, and I mean, I think even when they are talking about being broken, or at least when Austin's talking about being broken up, he speaks about it in one way, but Madison's kind of speaking about it in a different way. So it feels like they're just not on the same page. And I think maybe that's the point that Craig was trying to make of, like, you guys got to figure out what you're doing because you're either broken up or you're not. There's kind of no in between, especially given your circumstances.
Right.
Okay, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, go.
I wanted to know the last time you've woken up and maybe didn't remember what you did the night before.
Not that long ago.
Like, really?
I mean, it really, yeah, I think it hasn't been that long ago. But I think more often than not, it's just like my memory is often hazy. But to completely not remember anything, it's been a really long time. Like, there's like blacking out and there's browning out, you know? And I feel like more often than not, I'll just like brown out and then come back to it the next day being like, oh my God, I remember that happened. Oh yeah, that happened too. So it has been a really long time. But what I was more fascinated by with Teddy was how quickly she was like just up and awake and seemed okay.
Yeah.
And they were like, didn't you have a headache? And she was like, no.
I'm just really impressed that Teddy's even upright, let alone remembers the evening.
I was like, you should.
I know.
You were.
Especially because she went to bed hungry after drinking so much.
Right. And I don't know. I didn't see her drink water. Like, that. I don't understand how she wasn't more hungover. And maybe it's just because she's so healthy that she just, like, bounced back really quickly. But I don't know.
I think some people are just blessed. Like, my mom had never had a hungover. My mom had never experienced a hangover until recently. And I was
really?
Like, what? She's like, yeah, it's never happened.
She's like, I had 3 glasses of wine instead of 2. You're like, damn, Mom. I wanted to ask you, too, a little bit about, I think when they talk about Erica, Teddy, Kyle, that whole situation that's been going on in the last, like, episode or two, how responsible are you for how someone else receives you? Because I think the conversation that Kyle and Teddy keep having with Erica is that, especially Teddy in particular, when she takes Erica aside to sort of apologize about how she behaved and what she thinks, she talks to Erica about how, like, well, I feel this way when, you know, I think that you're not interested in talking to me. Or, you know, she kind of really projects, I think, a bit of her own insecurities on Erica. And Erica was pretty good about talking through that with her. But it seems like everyone's expecting Erica to behave a certain way so that they feel more comfortable around her.
I think you're, like, that's a really good point. I mean, because you're right. Erica should be able to be who she is.
She kept making the point as well that, you know, in wine there is truth. And, like, the things that you were saying last night are probably how you really think about me. But also, like, Teddy was pretty beyond. And I think as much as that can be true, that you can say things that you wouldn't normally say, but that you believe when you're drunk, it could have also just been, like, drunk talk. This season in particular, and recently we've seen how close Kyle and Teddy are, for example, and it's pretty obvious that the two of them are friends outside of the show. I mean, Lisa and Kyle, too, previously, you could tell that there was a real foundation and a friendship there, and maybe that's the point they're trying to make. Like, when you're around us, it doesn't seem like you want to be here, like you are only here because you're on the show.
Well, and at the reunion last season, you remember how Erica left Teddy's party because she didn't want to bleed all over her sheets?
Mm-hmm.
At the reunion, Kyle made the point, as soon as the camera stopped rolling, you left. And she was like, and I found that really suspicious.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe we're onto something here.
I mean, of course. We're like really smart.
We are private investigators. Well, I think the big thing that went down is the dinner at the end of the episode when everyone kind of confronted Camille.
Camille, to me, is so funny when she's being the target of an ambush. Like, she handles it like a pageant queen.
Absolutely.
Where she's like, I understand. No, I totally see where you're coming from. Oh, you have another complaint? Yes, no, I get that. I understand. At some point, I'd be like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
Like, all right, let's all go then, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And what I really love is that she went there with this dinner. I feel like there's been so many iconic Housewives dinners, so many iconic dinners on Beverly Hills in particular. And for her to go after Dorit the way she did about PK's finances and everything, it's something we've been waiting for all season, because we've seen a lot of conversations from fans about, like, when is this going to come up? And Andy asked Dorit about it on Watch What Happens Live not too long ago.
They talk about it at the reunion, too.
Exactly. And so we knew that that was something that's been going on, and a lot of fans have been like, why isn't this coming up on the show more often? Like, you know what? A plus for Camille and your Housewives activity, because you nailed it.
Your husband owes out a lot of money to somebody very, very close to me.
Well, she, yeah, like, she's acting sort of as the voice of many fans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Was it the right time and the place to bring it up? Maybe not.
Well, I think the only thing that kind of, like, disappointed me about this dinner is that the husbands were there. Like, a couple of them.
Right.
I just feel like the conversations are always better when no men are present, because when they're present, you can tell, like, people like Denise are trying to make everyone comfortable. And it's like, shh, don't worry about them.
Right.
Worry about heating up the drama.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And what's also really funny that I think about, and I thought of at this dinner from a production standpoint, is that you forget that, like, there is other sounds happening in that restaurant. So, like, maybe people at one end of the table don't hear exactly what's going on at the other end, but we obviously hear the important part of the conversation. So I think at one point it was Aaron who was sort of like, what are they talking about down there? And it was like, oh, you don't even want to get involved. Like, you stay at your end of the table and you stay happy down there because it's getting messy.
What's going on, baby?
Just keep eating.
And actually, I wanted to bring up, too, about Camille at the start of this dinner. Not only is she coping with losing her home, but she also lost her assistant, which a couple weeks ago, remember, we were like, who is that guy in her kitchen? And then I realized after we were done recording that day, like, oh, my God, that was her assistant that passed away.
Mm.
So Camille, I mean, at this dinner, for her to, like you said, be taking on all of these women kind of coming at her, knowing that she's also dealing with her home being burned down, losing her assistant that's been with her for like 20 years. She really held her own and, like, seemed to not be too torn up by what these women were doing.
Right.
Go, Camille.
Okay, so Below Deck Med, this made me think of a question.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jack describes Mila as sort of a sexy Hitler, mm-hmm. right? Because she went on this anti-gay rant last episode, but he still thinks she's hot.
Yep.
Who is someone who, like, was a terrible person, maybe, but you still had sex with them?
Oh, but I still had sex with them. Or I thought it was going to be like, who is someone that you hate that's super hot that you would?
Oh, okay, either.
Because I'm trying to think of like a famous person that I've still been like, oh my God, he's so hot.
I have a million, but I won't say them because I just...
I feel like someone famous who's terrible, but I'm still like, damn, you're hot. My first thought was Conor McGregor, like the UFC fighter who's just like...
I've never heard of this person.
You have heard of him. Come on. And we'll look him up, first of all.
Okay.
And you'll understand exactly what I'm saying.
Well, why is he terrible?
So I think there's just been some issues with him in the media. But someone who's like totally terrible who I've had sex with is probably like a number of...
You're like everyone.
I don't think anyone's been like totally terrible. I think there's been, and like Danny, please block your ears, but there's been, you know, like the random like Tinder one night stand things where like you're totally not attracted to the person and like they've probably said some awful things throughout your whole lunch or dinner or whatever you're at, but you still just are like, well, I made it this far, you know, so let's just seal the deal. There was one guy in particular when I first moved to New York who was like, we've all learned now on the podcast what a bear is. So he was right. Much more in the, you know, bear category. And I, you know.
But wait, that didn't make him a bad person.
Oh, no, that didn't make him a bad person. But I think just like, I don't remember the conversations we were having. I just like remember just being like, I'm not feeling this. But I don't think that's necessarily an equivalent of like a sexy Hitler. But I mean, yeah, that's what I would guess. But who would your person be then, even if it was like a famous person?
Oh, I don't know if I can say it.
Just say it. Okay. Well, okay. That makes sense. Well, also speaking of Jack, he talks in this episode, you know, Dr. Jen, Sandy's friend, is back. She's the primary charter guest in this episode. And she's really beautiful, and he talks about being attracted to her, and he's out on the jet ski or whatever, and he kind of references that, like, he definitely would sleep with her.
Definitely do know where the line is when flirting with charter guests, but I'll be willing to risk my life to bang Dr. Jen, never mind my job.
But what it made me think of is early in the season, we get, you know, digital asks from the production company that we put on the website or whatever, and one of the videos we have there is him... talking about, it's actually the whole crew talking about the lengths they would go to satisfy a guest. And the lengths that Jack would go to include creeping into a charter guest's room at night, as requested. She requested this. But he was like, you know, it's so funny to hear him deliver it in his accent. So you guys should go to bravotv.com and find the video. And he talks about how, you know, a woman was like, well, I just want to be satisfied tonight, if you know what I mean. And he went and slept with her. And he was like, she was very satisfied the rest of the trip, you know, like with his accent. And it's just amazing.
Oh, my God. First of all, that's risky.
Any totally risky.
Type of sexual request that involves you sneaking or like.
I don't know if he was sneaking, but I think. And maybe like, it was like a role play.
I want you to break into my, like, nope, you're being set up, buddy.
I think she was basic. I don't think he maybe had to sneak because he would have gotten fired if it had been, like, known. But either way, you have to watch the video. It's very charming. I wanted to ask you about Joao and sort of what we're seeing of him this season versus last season. And in particular, the moment that he has with Captain Sandy where he talks about how he's still very upset about Brooke, and Captain Sandy's sort of like, well, I can be here for you, you know, and you can trust me. And they have kind of a really nice moment together.
Having never trusted anyone and then giving that trust, that's the hard part. I won't let it affect anything.
It's okay. You should, you gotta feel it, Joao. You know, go have your cry again, because yeah. That's healing.
So do you think that we're really seeing a changed man, or do you think this is kind of being put on just because he has more responsibilities professionally?
I think he's someone who, even as last season was airing, was really self, like, not editing. I think that might, well, we all edit ourselves a little bit.
Yeah.
I think he became very aware of how he was looking.
Right.
And so I'm sure this season he's keeping that in mind.
Well, even after Chef Mila's anti-gay remarks, we saw Joao talk about the family friend of his Auntie Shackles, who was a very out and proud gay man, and how close that they all were, and how Chef Mila's remarks kind of really affected him because he was, you know, so close to someone like that. And I think where he's from in Zimbabwe, it hasn't always been easy. So I think seeing that sort of sensitive side of him and what he's doing now, you know, with more responsibility and talking about Brooke. I mean, I think since the show has aired this season, we've known that like Brooke has made some comments about what he's been saying on the show. So who's to say what's true and what's not? But I do like that. I think we're seeing him maybe mature, and at least he's stepping up his game professionally.
True.
When the guests went quote unquote skinny dipping, was that skinny dipping?
Yeah, no, that's not skinny dipping.
No.
You have to be,
I think as Travis puts it, like water to peen.
Everybody likes skinny dipping. It's a universal love. Nothing like feeling nice, smooth, salty water all over your peen.
Or veen, exactly. So, I mean, nice try, charter guest, being like, we're crazy, we're skinny dipping. No, get nude. You're on camera, but we can blur it out. It's totally fine.
Totally.
I also really wanted to laugh so hard at Chef Mila criticizing the meatballs, being like, oh, fine, go ahead and serve dry meatballs. We'll see how that goes. I'm like, bitch, you served a cake that tasted like baking soda. Like, right. What? Like, are you kidding me that you're going to criticize her meatballs? And then the charter guests ended up loving them anyway.
And by the way, not just a cake that tasted like baking soda. Nachos with no cheese.
Nachos with no cheese that look disgusting. Like, actual hard shell taco things that you can buy at, like, a grocery store. Like, come on. No, Chef Mila.
Not into it.
Step it up. Well, you know that we love Colin because we interviewed him and he's so adorable. And he talks about how he likes to make this delicious little sweet treat, which is like gummy bears between two Starbursts. It sounds so adorable. And then he makes a joke of like, well, if you guys ever need a dessert for the guests one night, I'm here to make it for you.
I do. Okay. I remember when Megan Mullally, is that her name? From Will and Grace?
Mullally.
Megan Mullally.
Mullally.
Megan Mullally?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Just keep that whole bit in. She had this talk show for a hot minute.
Oh,
but
yeah.
For some reason, I would always watch it. And one of her segments was to have celebrities make their weird favorite snack.
Ooh.
And so something like Lisa Kudrow's was like to put M&Ms in the microwave.
Oh.
Like, just weird stuff that, like, you as a person just find amazing.
Right. I'm trying to think of one that I like that no one else would like. This one's not super weird, but I like to mix, and this I got from my mom, in, like, vanilla yogurt, just, like, a spoonful of peanut butter and, like, mix it together. So it's, like, a peanut butter vanilla yogurt.
Ew.
It's so good. It doesn't sound good. I am telling you, it will change your morning. Do you have one?
I'm trying to think if I do. Okay, I like to put garlic salt in olive oil and put my pizza crusts in it.
I think that's... I think Papa John's also lets you do that.
No, that's butter and garlic.
Oh, okay,
they're
fair.
Totally different, Eric.
It's really funny you say that because the other day I wanted to maybe make garlic bread out of just like the things we had in the kitchen, which included like a loaf of like whole wheat bread and then some, you know, butter, Smart Balance, and garlic salt. And I said to Danny, I was like, do you think I can just like put this all together and this will make garlic bread? And he was like, I don't think so. I was like, but it's still gonna be good, like no matter what. So I didn't try it. I didn't feel brave enough. Maybe I'll try it later just to see if it how it comes out. That sounds good.
I did go out with a guy who was French and he would put ketchup on spaghetti noodles when he said in a pinch. And I was like, what?
No.
I was like, it is so easy to go downstairs and get like a bottle of Prego or something. Right, like, right. What are you doing?
I thought the French had class.
I know.
Oh my God, that's good.
So Lowe's and Janet from Texicana's talk about their friendship, their joint Instagram account, Lowe's and Blanca Adventures, and how San Antonio has accepted the show. Plus, she reveals the current status of her friendship with Myra. Let's take a listen to that interview. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yes. So first, I just want to ask, how did this opportunity even come your way?
Well, I was invited by Lorena, and she said, hey, there's this opportunity. Would you be interested? And I was like, no. And she said, come on, you might like this. And I said, but I'm not even a housewife. I'm divorced. You know, my friends are American, not Mexican, you know, and it was just like, it was totally different of what I thought they were looking for. But it was just really fun and a great opportunity. And this one here, Janet, pushed me into like,
Why not? You got to go try it out just to see, just in case.
Tell your story. Tell your what you do, what you have to offer. And I said, well, okay.
Yeah.
So,
how did you guys become friends? What's that story?
On 10/2016. That's the date. We know it. Yeah.
We celebrate. It's our anniversary, friendsversary.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
That's so cute.
Yeah. We have an Instagram page together and everything. I mean,
Luz and Blanca Adventures.
Yes. Yeah. How did that happen?
On one of our travels, we thought, okay, you know, every month, I think for the last, 28 months, we've been somewhere every month.
Yeah.
Yes. And we love to find wine. We like to travel. We love fine things. We like to shop. We love people, different cultures. I mean, she's taught me a whole lot about the Hispanic Latino world. It's amazing.
Mm. Yeah. So much that now she's Blanca.
Yeah.
You're an honorary member.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, I want a Hispanic name, and she named me.
Yeah.
How does San Antonio, how have they welcomed you guys?
Well, I think at the beginning, San Antonio was a little edgy and, you know, worried about how we were going to portray and represent a beautiful city because, you know, San Antonio people love San Antonio. And so I think at the beginning it was a little tough, but then after that we have been embraced so much. And I think San Antonio, it looks so pretty. It looks beautiful. Bill Fritz and the production team made an awesome job of putting San Antonio there. I mean, I found out of places that I hadn't even been to. So San Antonio has been known for like the Riverwalk, the Alamo, just, you know, the basic things. And there's so much to offer. I get DMs all the time saying, oh, I'm going to go to San Antonio just because of the show. You know, all the businesses that restaurants we've gone to are people going to them. And it's just been a great turn. I mean, everybody loves.
There's a lot in San Antonio and the surrounding areas. I mean, not just Bexar County, but the Hill Country. I mean, San Antonio.
Horseshoe Bay when we went, yeah.
San Antonio, even though they have a international and what's the other regular airport, whatever it's called. Anyway, you can go anywhere, and right there you can fly out of San Antonio, and a lot of people from Mexico and different countries come in there because it's a big enough airport now. And you can, within from there to Austin, there to Houston, you're only like 100 or 200 miles. So you can cover a lot of area in Corpus Christi. And so, yeah, it's a lot to see. There's a lot to offer. Wine country, everything. So, yeah, it's not just the Riverwalk. So.
Have there been any unexpected perks of being on a Bravo show?
Well, I mean, we do get recognized now. And, you know, we go to restaurants and they're like, oh, you know, your meal has been paid for, you know, or get a bottle here and there. But it's fun getting recognized and all that. But yeah, I think the perks for me is showing and empowering other women. And
the lives that you're touching.
Yes. The lives that I'm touching as that personal perks, you know, I get all these DMs about people. Oh my gosh, you inspired me to do this, that. So for me, that has been, wow, amazing, like totally humbling, and it's been like a therapy. So it's a perk, and it's like going back to all the way to my childhood, like where am I now, why, and all that I've gone through, and how can I help more people to get where, you know, I am, or where they want to get, empower them to where they want to be.
Do you feel like you've also gotten let's call it constructive criticism from fans at all.
Oh, yes, oh. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, and I think we all, when we all signed up to do this, they told us, you know, it's not going to be all pretty. And we're like, oh, we were so excited. We're like, okay, whatever, whatever. And then when you actually live it, it's pretty hard, harsh to, number one, you know who you are, but you don't see yourself. I mean, you see yourself on the mirror, but when you see yourself played out like in front on a TV and you're like, oh, that's how I act and that, whatever. And we all make mistakes. We all do things we weren't, shouldn't maybe do. But then you recognize it and you're like, oh, I can change that or improve or whatever, you know. But it's just, you know, I don't know what Janet says, but it's been a learning experience. And when people are mean too. So the mean comments, I'm like, ignore, erase, you know. So I am focusing on the positive, yeah. on the positive lives that I have been, you know, given the opportunity to touch.
Have there been any moments that you've watched back and you're like,
oh, yeah. Tons of them.
Yeah. Like, oh, holy moly. Like, did I say that? I don't think I said that.
But did I look like that? I need a little more makeup or my hair. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, we're not mean girls, just so you know that. Yeah. We are not. I mean,
we're very no filter. We express our feelings, and sometimes that comes out to be mean, you know. But if, like, she told, no, you cannot wear that. You know, it doesn't hurt my feelings because she's being outright. And I mean, I actually appreciate when she says something.
Honesty is the best policy.
Exactly. Right? And sometimes honesty is hard for other people to take in.
Yeah. What do you think you've had more regrets about? Things you've said or things you've worn?
Probably things I've said a little or not said. Yeah.
Because that's a part I always find interesting is how something looks so great in person and then you watch it back on camera and you're like, why? God, why?
I know. No. Yeah. I think more of what I've said. I'm not so worried right now about
what we look like, because we know we look good. Not really. No, not really. It's just like, yeah, some of the things we said, it's like, ooh, I didn't mean it that way. Because, I mean, how they cut and edit, that's how it's come out. And it's like, that's not what I meant. But okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
What I want to do is like, okay, I want to tell you this. I want to tell you that. Can we ad lib? I mean, let's Instagram them. We can't do none of that. Yeah. It's like, dang it. Yeah. So,
do you take her kickboxing classes or boxing classes?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I love it.
That's how we actually met.
Yeah.
Through the gym.
Oh, is she a tough instructor?
Oh, yeah. For that 1 hour, it's like, don't talk to me. I've got to stay serious. And
she's like, you're going to make me throw up. I'm like, there's the can.
And she does not know how to count at all, okay? She's like, she'll count on me. I'm on, like, number 25, and she's like, a 17. No. I'm already at 25. So.
She's like, you're going to make me throw up. And I'm like, there's a can. Go.
Yeah, she has no sympathy for me at all.
Have you found, like, a good reception since the show for your boxing classes?
Oh, yes, yeah. Definitely. It's, as I said again, it's just my heart is, like, huge. Like, it's about to burst with all these people that are like, oh, can you help my daughter? You know, she needs more confidence. Can you help me? Can you do this? Can you do that? And it's, you know, we're doing a kids class, anti-bullying, and it's just been, I've been so happy about that. That was just like, you know, the best thing that this has brought. You know?
So there's been a lot of texting drama on the show. What is your stance on going through someone's phone?
Do you want to go first?
Yeah. Be nice, well, remember?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to be.
I have to tell her. Be nice. We have to be political.
Now, who goes through somebody's phone?
No, I don't. Okay. We don't even go through each other's phone, and we're like, stuck at the hip, you know. Yeah. If she tells me, hey, look at this, but I look at specifically at what she tells me, not like,
and she knows my password.
I know my password. I never even go on her phone without her knowing, you know. Why? No, that's probably.
But what do you think about it?
No.
What do you think about it? Would you go through somebody's phone?
You know, not even my husband.
Exactly. You got to trust him. Like, my husband, he's like, what do you mean? Well, anyway, that's a whole other subject. We don't want to get in there. But
yeah. So yeah. I don't think that's part of what somebody does, you know.
Well, what is the status of your friendship with Myra?
Well, I think, you know, we both have very strong personalities. And we definitely butt heads. People are just going to have to tune in how it ends up. But, you know, it's not easy to be with somebody or talk, you know, be friends with somebody that you're like, I think we're at different points in our life stages. But, I mean, I respect I respect her for sure. I think, you know, she's doing great in what she's doing. It's just maybe not the same of what I'm doing, you know.
She has a very nice husband, Fernando. Yeah. He's very nice.
Yeah.
Okay. He's awesome. That's very diplomatic of you.
He's really nice.
Yeah, he is. He is.
I'm serious.
I really like her husband. He's, he's very nice. Yes. Very nice. And I, you know, not everybody has to like me, and I don't think I have to like everybody. And I think we just have to learn to, you know, be in the same place at the same time and be mature about it. I don't think we have to be friends. Or you don't have to be friends with anybody. But I don't want to say anything bad about her because I respect her as well with what she's doing and what she does. It looks, you know, she's a great mom, a husband, great wife.
She dresses pretty. She's got great style. Dresses beautifully,
great style, you know. So.
And she's a great...
She's a great entertainer.
Yes, she's...
Great party.
The hostess with the mostest. I do not know... Yes. Literally, and I'm not being sarcastic. She's down to the T.
And I have no ability to do that, so my... Head out, you know.
Yeah.
Hats out to her. Hoo-yah for her. Yeah, because I know. Yeah.
And lastly, I just want to know, like, doing a show like this, what's maybe the biggest thing you've learned about yourself in the process?
Well, as I said, you know, this has been like another whole therapy, like going back all the way to my childhood. Like, there's been days when I don't even want to go outside my house. I'm like, oh my gosh, because I had put away so many things.
Well, tell them about when you was 19 years old, all the opportunities you had, and you got married, had children, and I mean,
yeah, because then now, you know, when you're growing up, you're like, when you're growing up, you're like, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that, and then your life just changes. As I got married young, I really didn't want to get married, but then, you know, that was kind of like the culture, the whatever you want, you know, your family grows up. And now that I'm independent, I'm by myself, I feel like my wings are spread. I can do so many things. And that's kind of what, you know, what I love the most of it. But I've learned a lot about myself, too. A lot. So this show has brought a lot of good things for me.
It's great. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for coming by.
You're welcome.
This was amazing.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
All right, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
What was your rose?
My rose was Naomi attempting to make Indian food for Matul.
It's like missing something.
I think it's missing an Indian person that's good at cooking.
I thought that was really romantic. And I also, you know, I love him and I just want him to be on the show all the time with no shirt on, preferably.
Eric sent me a post from Matul and I was like, the fact that you follow him is the most Eric thing ever. And he's like, he doesn't thirst trap nearly enough.
Oh, and I said, which both makes me happy and sad.
Right.
I'm like, I'm glad he's not the type of person to thirst trap. But like, I did follow him hoping for some of that content.
Right.
What was your rose?
My rose was from Below Deck Med. And it was Hannah during this like argument with Chef Mila about the pancake batter.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, you're now bringing Aunt Jemima into this?
I know.
And just the way she said it.
You're now bringing Aunt Jemima into this? Like, leave her out of it. If you're a chef and you can't cook pancakes, you're not a f***ing chef.
Oh, just made me laugh.
Yeah, no, that was so good. She nailed it. I saw that moment when I was watching it and I was like, I feel like I need to gift this. Like when Chef Mila just like holds up the box of Aunt Jemima and she's just like, this is what I'm making. It's the American kind. And I was just like, oh my God. No. What was your thorn?
So my thorn was on Real Housewives of New York. The fact that Barbara left spray tan all over that pristine white room.
I know.
Like, I don't think that's okay.
No, not at all.
But I will say, like, at the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion, again, I don't know why they choose white couches for these things, but every time the ladies went on a break, someone came out with what can only be described as, like, magic erasers, and we're just scrubbing the shit out of these couches.
Well, I think this is a note for the production companies, because we also saw it on Real Housewives of Potomac this season when Giselle comes over to Karen's and leaves, like, a stain on the couch, like, no more white couches, you guys.
Yeah.
Or like get like those plastic things that like old people have on their sofas.
Oh, God. What was your thorn?
Well, my thorn comes from Southern Charm New Orleans, and it's how quickly Reagan and Reese are moving. And of course, now at this point, we know she's having a baby. They're married. Like, we know all of that just because of filming and everything. But just to watch it all happen so quickly on the show and just see Jeff kind of experience it and just kind of be along for the ride. And I think in the next episode, because we were dark this past week, you're going to see even more of that. And we're going to get more of like Jeff's reaction to how quickly things are happening. But just like as a viewer, I feel like I'm not ready for all of this change.
Next week, we have interviews with Captain Sandy Yon and Patricia Altschul. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me.